Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP. For the 6th of November, I'm Paul White. Today, we finalize our look at the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We've been in this chapter for quite some time. It's got a lot of meat, particularly these last, seven or eight verses about examining yourself and communion, and then the several verses in front of that that talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper. My hope and takeaway from all of this is that you've at least been inspired to pursue a greater revelation of the communion that you have with the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, that you explore what it is that belongs to you. And I hope I've made it clear, and I'll try one more time today to just say this, and we do have the one verse remaining that we're going to hit, but when you partake communion, it is about understanding what is yours based upon what has happened in the body and blood of Jesus. So it's not just this thing we go to him and say, okay, I did my part, I took communion, now you do your part. That's not doing things in remembering his death. But partaking while remembering how the body is broken for you and how the blood is shed for you also includes a why. Why the body is shed for you, why the blood has been spilled, why the body's broken, why the blood's been shed, but also then a what. What is mine because of the body that's broken? And I think it really comes down to the word inheritance and knowing what belongs to you because you're not a servant, you're a son. And when you start to see yourself as a son, you start to walk into the reality of what belongs to you based not upon what you do, but upon who you are. It takes you away from the rich young ruler mentality, which is, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? That's us stacking up our performances and our brownie points in front of the Lord and hoping and praying and believing that we can achieve something or that we can receive something. And whenever you are confronted with what you need to do in order to receive what he has done. I just taught this on one of our Tuesday nights a week or so ago, for the 62nd lesson from our studies in John titled Thieves, Robbers, and Hirelings. So it's fresh on my mind. But when you get into a situation where you must do something in order to receive rather than just go in and out and find pasture, that's your role, go in and out and find pasture. Then you're being confronted by the thief, the robber, and the hireling. And the thief is a petty thief who just steals your stuff without you knowing it. The robber is blatant. And the hireling is someone who doesn't care for your well-being. They're getting paid to do what they do. You're just a cog in the machine, man. You're just part of the process, part of the institution rather than the individual. And we've all been confronted with that in religion. Don't fall into that trap. When you fall into that trap, you're moving back into servant mentality, away from sonship. And when you move away from sonship into a servant mentality, you are you're running the dangerous risk of forfeiting what belongs to you by inheritance. And it's yours. Why would you forfeit it? That brings us to the final thought of 1 Corinthians 11:34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. The last sentence is easy. Paul says, there's other things. I'll take care of it when I get there. We'll cover the stuff that needs covered when I'm in your presence. But rather, other than that, one of the things he had been dealing with was this. They had been treating the covenant meal in some ways the way pagans treated their feasts, their love feasts. And most of the pagans turned that feast into an orgy or some form of sexual expression in front of their gods. Paul doesn't want the Christian ceremony of communion to, in any way, to look like that. And so he says, if you're hungry, eat at home. In other words, eat at home if you're hungry, because if not, you guys are coming together to really turn this almost into a contest to see who can eat and drink the most. That's not communing on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I don't know that I'm smart enough to come up with what this would be comparable to today, other than maybe the the spotlight fest that sometimes the church turns into. You know, who's doing it the best? Who's the best performer? Who's the best dresser? Who's the, I don't know. Some of that stuff seems to infiltrate its way into platforms, and it's to our shame, because it's as close to secularism as you can get, I think, in the church. And it still be celebrated, because stuff gets celebrated a lot of times that, I don't know, that brings any glory to the Lord. I don't want to get picky, but I'm trying to just give you an illustration of what might be close to that 34th verse. When you transition into chapter 12, Paul will turn towards spiritual gifts. This is it, for all those times that I say there were bad chapter breaks, I should be fair and celebrate really good ones. This is a really good one. This is an almost perfect chapter break, because we change topics entirely. Paul, having felt like he thoroughly dealt with communion, said, "The rest I'll set in order when I come." In other words, there's some other things to talk about. I'll set them in order when I come. I'd love to know what those were. He didn't feel that they could be conveyed by writing them down. And I guess that's best for all of us, because maybe they were more specific to the Corinthians. So when you get into 12, and I want to encourage you today before tomorrow's podcast to read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, at least the first 10 or 11 verses, we start to deal with spiritual gifts and what they look like and what they are about. And of course, over the course of the next couple of chapters, I will deal with this idea that is actually has some traction among teachers of grace, that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer relevant, that they are no longer in operation. And we'll deal with that off and on over the next few weeks, because how can you not deal with that? You're going to be dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. We'll get started tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.